This is the Daily Bulletin of the General Conference, Battle Creek, Michigan, Monday, February 6th, 1893. And this is a study or a sermon by Elder S.N. Haskell. It's the study of the Bible, number 9. I closed yesterday with a quotation from Deuteronomy showing that there was in the gospel physical power. There isn't the gospel, everything that is for our good. I wish to say a few words more, returning to this, about this faith that appropriates the blessing in His Word. Sometimes we make very hard work of believing the Word. We feel as though we must do something in order to believe. But if we will come like children at the feet of Christ and take His Word as His voice, He will teach us. Faith will be inspired in the heart and mind. It will be given to us by the Spirit of God. We cannot explain how it will be, but it will be so. We receive from the Word what we expect is in the Word. If I do not think it is in the Word and am going to read it simply to find out whether it is there or not, very likely I will never get it. God never makes any apology for speaking to the human race. When the prophet spake, it was, "Thus saith the Lord." I understand the children of Israel did not stop to realize that there was not a feeble one in all their ranks, neither did they realize that God was sustaining them physically as He was. When they had their eyes upon the Lord and were following that cloud, seeing nothing but that cloud, the Lord took care of everything else and He led them. It was precisely the same when the Savior met the disciples upon the water and bade Peter come to Him. Peter did not stop to think about anything but the command to come. He did not stop to see whether he had faith or not. He saw nothing but Christ before him and walked upon the water. Had it been given in the air, he wouldn't have gone just as well. It was simply the attitude of Peter towards the Savior. He saw the word of the Savior, and he saw nothing else. And he could walk just as well on the water as he could on the ground. But when he turned to see the waves and to see that he was doing something remarkable, he began to go down at once. It requires a training of the mind that we can only receive by the Spirit of God to lead us to take the word. Faith is simply believing, and you have it. It is simply taking the word of God as though spoken directly to us, and then we have that which is contained in the word. I want to give two or three ideas that I have on the health question. One text came to my mind yesterday morning, but I did not quote it, for I feared it might awaken controversy in some minds. I do not want you to take anything I present on my testimony, but simply look at the word itself and see if it is there. If you do not find it there, I shall not quarrel with anyone. I simply say what appears to me to be there to encourage you to read the Bible and get the light that God would give you. The Apostle Paul says, quote, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Close quote, Philippians 1, verses 20 through 24. Did the apostle have any privilege of choosing whether he should die or live? I think he had. It seems to me from the scripture that there is that power in the gospel, that if the soul is thoroughly consecrated to God and has something to do, he has it somewhat in his power to say whether he shall die or whether he shall live. There is power in the gospel to keep him living in the work of God. If he will trust God and rely upon him and seek to live to his glory, there is not power enough among all the evil angels cast out of heaven to get that man into the grave. He will live anyhow, if the Lord has work for him to do. But if a man folds his hands and says he is going to die, it is a good deal like a man who makes up his mind that he will surely be overcome by the enemy. Such a man will not get the victory. There is everything in asserting our liberty in the Lord. We have to contend with the devil, but it is Christ that fights the battle. We are only to throw ourselves on the testimony of God, and he sustains us. It has been supposed by some that if we believe God, it does not make much difference about this health question, that God will take care of us anyhow, and we need do nothing to preserve our health. That cannot be true. It is just as necessary that we cooperate with God for the preservation of our health as it is to cooperate with him in obeying his truth. The laws that govern our being are the laws of God. They are all in the gospel. Now, I want to read from the Bible that a man does not deny his faith when he resorts to rational remedies. Read in 2 Kings 20, verses 1 through 7, how the Lord healed Hezekiah. Was it necessary, after God had said that he would recover the third day, to put on that lump of figs? Was not that denying his faith? No, sir. Figs are a good thing for a boil. You try it at any time, and it will bring a boil to a head. It is not denying our faith, but the contrary. To do those things which are in harmony with the laws of life when God tells us to live. It is in harmony with the laws of life to use rational remedies. I do not mean drugs, but I have faith in rational remedies, says one. Did he have faith in the figs or faith in God? It was faith in God through the figs. The Lord told him what to do, and he did it believing that it would be a blessing, and it was a blessing. I do not believe the Lord wants unbelieving physicians to doctor his people at all. He wants those who will apply remedies in his fear and in harmony with the principles revealed in the Bible, and then it will be a blessing to the sick. It is all in the gospel, every word of it. I have great faith in a physician who believes in God, but I would not risk my life in the hands of one who does not, says one. What would you do if you were off by yourself and were sick? I would believe God. We had such an experience as that on the east coast of Africa a few years ago. Brother McGann was sick, and we prayed for him, and he got better. I was sick, having gone over toward the interior. I got up in the morning with a fever and could not dress myself. I could not take treatment, and I began to think the matter over, what I was there for, and of the goodness of God. And as soon as I began to think of the goodness of God, the Spirit of God came down upon me, and it broke me all to pieces, so I had to get down and cry. And when I broke all to pieces, my fever was gone. I say these things to show that faith in God is not narrow. Voice, should not a man follow his convictions? Yes, always. Follow the light you have. The Savior met people right where they were. Hardly two came to the Savior in just the same way. One man felt that he must come and get right down before him and have the Savior look at him. The centurion did not want Christ to come to his house to heal the sick, but asked him to speak only the word. In another place, a man was let down through a roof. Don't you suppose it was the Savior that inspired that man to come to him? Yes. And his spirit followed him all the way? Yes. And when he got there and the house was crowded, then the Holy Spirit inspired those men to let him down through the roof. I tell you, brethren, the Lord's faith in us to encourage us to come to him is such that it takes every man just where he is and just as he is. All do not have to follow the same line. He comes and instructs and leads those persons who will be led by him. I am thankful the Lord lays down that truth in His Word. He meets everyone just where he is. In the Scripture, God heals the sick, whether directly by faith or without any outward demonstration or by means in harmony with the laws of life. In the gospel are the laws that govern our health and that govern us morally, spiritually, and physically. God would have us to believe that these things are in the gospel. And when we believe they are there and take the word as giving instruction to us, we will find and experience these very blessings. The Savior resorted to many different ways of healing the sick. And in many of these, we could not say it was because their faith led them that way. He healed them by His power through various ways, such as putting clay upon their eyes and washing, even when they did not believe on Him till after they were healed. Take the blind man, whose eyes the Savior anointed with clay and told him to go and wash. When the man was questioned by the Jews, he could only say that he believed the man who did it was a good man. Afterwards, he met Christ, and Christ asked him if he believed in the Son of God. He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And when the Lord revealed himself, he fell right down and worshiped him. Why was it that the Lord healed people in all these different ways, if it was not that some principle was involved in it that pertained to us? I told you the other day, and you believed it, that every act of Christ contained salvation. There are lessons for us in every act of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will let Him teach us, He will give us the lessons. Another thought. When we receive this word, we receive Jesus Christ. We take Him when we take the word. Christ identifies Himself with us for our need. We read in Testimony number 32, quote, "Let us remember that Jesus knows us individually and is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows the wants of each of His creature and reads the hidden, unspoken grief of every heart. If one of the little ones for whom He died is injured, He sees it and calls the offender to account. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He cares for His feeble, sickly, wandering sheep. He knows them all by name. The distress of every sheep and every lamb of His flock touches His heart of sympathizing love, and the cry for aid reaches His ear. He was the Creator of all things, sustaining worlds by His infinite power. Angels were ready to do Him homage and to obey His will. Yet He could listen to the prattle of an infant and accept its lisping praise. He took little children in His arms and pressed them to His heart of love. They felt perfectly at home in His presence and reluctant to leave His arms. He did not look upon His disappointments and woes of the race as a mere trifle, but His heart was ever touched by the sufferings of those He came to save." Close quote. That is our Savior, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But how do we receive Jesus Christ? In the 10th of Romans, we see the kind of righteousness the Jews were trying to get, their own righteousness. We cannot get Christ's righteousness unless we lose that which we think so commendable in ourselves. But Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. In verses 6 through 9, the apostle quotes from Deuteronomy with comments of his own. Let us place his quotations side by side with the verses from which he quoted. Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 14. Quote, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now Romans 10, verses 6 through 9. Quote, But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Close quote. Moses said, This commandment, Paul says it, means Christ. Then if I take the commandments into my heart, whom do I take? Christ. What if I go back to the old law? Yes. Then when I take a word of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and take it as God's voice to me, I take Jesus Christ to my soul. Then when that blind man took Christ's word, he took Christ, and yet he did not know Christ. Light sufficient to condemn a man is certainly sufficient to justify him, if that light is accepted and cherished. But the trouble is, men will not cherish the light, but reject it. What is it then to confess the Lord Jesus Christ? Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, and Romans 10, verses 8 and 9. If we take the word in the heart, we confess it. If we believe it as Christ and take it as Christ, we have Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, verses 10 through 13. Then everyone that comes can be saved. We can be saved today, this very moment. If we take the light that God has given us, says one, how much shall I take? Just what comes into your heart this morning. I will go farther than that. I will say, if you can see there is salvation in Jesus Christ, you are near the kingdom of God. If you can see the principles contained in that word and know Christ, and if you can discern that there is something there more than anywhere else in this world, then you are close to the kingdom of God. And if you can take it into the heart, you are in the kingdom of God. That is the end of Brother Haskell's sermon number 9.